Time for a Sten Gang podcast. Time to talk basketball with Justin Leslie. I'm Pete Stein. Glad you've been joining us for these podcasts throughout the course of the season. And we've got one more game to go as Midwestern State travels north of the Red River to take on Cameron. And I was telling Bernita when we did her podcast, it seems like a long time ago that we played Cameron. It was way back before Christmas, the first time we met the Aggies. We get the away matchup coming up this week. But before we get to that, I want to look back at the last two home games of the season. And the thing that stands out is the way you finished those two games. And it was arguably the best homestand of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we, looking back on our last two homestands, you know, with the New Mexico schools
right.
And then coming into this one, we have really played well at home.
Finished 12-4 at home, by the way. Nothing wrong with that.
No, no question. And, I mean, well, for starters, it's just a great home court advantage here, you know, at D.L. Ligon Coliseum. Our home crowds have been great, especially this second semester, you know, having the students back on campus, the football team, and then, you know, getting the boost with the airmen from Shepherd Air Force Base.
That's one of my favorite days every season.
It really is. And so, you know, I just couldn't have been more pleased with the grit and the resolve that, first half, I mean, give the other teams credit. I mean, they played hard. They were making shots, and we just stayed the course and ultimately just buried them as the game went on with, our consistency on the defensive side of the ball, rebounding, and, ultimately led to, double-figure victories in both.
Yeah, beating Texas A&M Kingsville and Texas A&M International. And then what was especially fun Saturday was to see Will Shepherd kind of shake out of his scoring slump and get 18 points on 7-of-9 shooting. He also hit 3 three-pointers in that game, but here late in the season, he's been playing down low and playing really well down there for you.
Well, part of that is the fact that, teams, midway through the year, they switched it up and they started putting, little guys on him because he was floating on the perimeter and, doing most of his damage as a 3-point shooter. Well, It's hard to get shots off when you've got a little guy who can stay connected with you and all in your space. You know, big men usually have the tendency to, help, protect the basket more their instincts. So it's a little bit easier to shake loose. But in order to command that type of matchup, he has to be able to go in and do some work around the basket. And I think where that's been, the most, glaring, change, just over the course of the last few weeks is his embrace of the physicality down around the basket on the defensive side of the ball. And I think we saw in the second half of second half of the international game on Saturday, how he just really asserted himself as a defensive presence, not only taking away their post players one-on-one moves, but as a help defender and blocking some critical shots down the stretch for us.
He's just getting more comfortable down there, right? I know we talked early in the season about he was kind of a late bloomer. He mm-hmm. grew late in his career and is just kind of now getting accustomed to being a big man in basketball.
No, that's it. That's it. I mean, Will's a big, strong man. There's no doubt about that. And just having that mindset of not being afraid to go mix it up and just really assert himself from a physical standpoint on the game. That's something that's developing. I think he's, as this season is finishing, he's really starting to understand. So, my hope for him is that just really carries over into the off season to give him some good momentum, because that's kind of the next phase of his game is, he's always going to be a shooter, but there's so much more that you can do beyond shooting the basketball from just being a presence on the floor on both ends. I think that's something that he can really continue to grow and develop in.
And we should mention, I think we alluded to this last week, but it was Senior Day Saturday. We didn't have a ceremony for the men because you've got everybody coming back.
Yeah, it's the only technical senior we had on the roster was Pierre Sanders, but he has the COVID year,
and he's going to take advantage of it.
Yep, he's still pursuing that accounting degree and possibly a master's in business. He's looking at all his options. It is a unique situation with that COVID year, but that was part of the decision that we made back that first year when we knew that there was going to be the additional year of eligibility for those incoming or those students there during the COVID year, of which Pierre Sanders was a freshman. And so we kind of, you know, he worked an academic plan to kind of stretch out to give him some more academic options to where he could take some additional classes and, you know, ultimately just get a very valuable degree in college education while he's here.
And he's become such a fan favorite, and he was almost immediately.
Yeah.
And now I think we all look at him as just savvy veteran out on the floor.
Well, and he is a savvy veteran out on the floor. There's no doubt about that. But the thing about Pierre, why he's a fan favorite, is because you know what you're going to get every day with him. You're going to get someone who's committed to competing. He loves Midwestern State. I mean, he's going to go sell out every single opportunity to represent this school, this community well. He takes a lot of pride in leading the program and setting a strong example on and off the court. And so, you know, kids like that, you know, he's not a kid. He's a young man.
He's a man.
No, he is. He is. You know, it's hard not to cheer for someone like that and just really get excited for his success on and off the court.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He's certainly been one of my favorites, and it seems like he kind of had his coming out party at Cameron his freshman year. My memory may be a little foggy there, but I seem to remember that.
You're right. No, we played the back-to-back games up at Cameron, and he absolutely just burst on the scene, and he's been a fixture in our rotation ever since. There's no doubt about that. And so, you know, I'm awfully proud of Pierre. You know, how he comes out every single day and leads us, and I have no doubt that going into our game on Thursday night, that he'll continue to go out there and just do everything he can to put us in a position to succeed.
And that's the other thing, is he's there every night for you. Pierre missed maybe a game or two in his career.
Yeah, no, they always, you know, we've said this before, but the greatest ability is availability. And, you know, Pierre's had his aches and pains. You know, he finished with a knee injury last year that had to get operated on, required surgery after the season. He's had some aches and pains throughout this year. Nobody is full strength. I always tell him the first day of practice is the best you're going to feel all year because the toll of a long physical season just wears on every player. And Pierre, he just does a phenomenal job in the off season of training his body to where he's ready to handle the rigors of Lone Star play.
The other guy that's been a standout this year and has been the leading scorer, I think, from the start of the season is Mason Gibson. And we certainly missed him for those six games. He was out with an injury this mm-hmm. season, but he's come back even better, it seems like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I've had this conversation with several players during the times when they're out, of just how your perspective changed when it gets taken away from you for a time. You know, when you think you're maxing out, or players think they're doing the most that they possibly can out there on the court, and then when you take a step back and remove yourself when you're watching, you realize, no, there's a lot more that can be done. And I think that Mason really came back hungry. You know, it took him a little bit from a physical perspective or to get back into the flow, get his conditioning up, but in these last 2 weeks, he's really been playing and competing at a high level for us. And it was nice to see him start to hit some shots again. You know, there was a little bit of rhythm of, you know, shooting percentages were a little lower coming back. His impact on the game was great, you know, from the get-go when he returned. But having him just get a few additional weeks under his belt, you can see him starting to really find his rhythm again. And he was fantastic over the weekend.
I was a little worried when I saw he got his hair cut, but apparently he's not Samson, because he's been just as good.
No, that's exactly right. You know, he surprised us all when he came back with the new haircut. But yes, it has an impact that his play at all.
The first time I saw him was in Odessa, and I was talking to Casey for the pregame interview, and I said, "You got a new number three? That's somebody else on there?"
Yep.
Because I never really looked at Mason's uniform number to identify him. I knew it was the guy with the floppy hair.
That's
out
it.
There. That was Mason Gibson. So I had to find a new mnemonic to recognize Mason out there. But he's been fun to watch. Bakari Lestrap, the second half of the season, seems like he's been a better player.
Yeah, well, part of, you know, you take a player like Bakari, it's just familiarity and comfort within just within the new system and new school and new setting. I mean, he started the year. He's been a double-figure scorer for us.
And I don't mean to suggest he was a poor player in the first half of the season.
But it's just it's the intangibles. And that's one of the places where Bakari's impact is felt the most is in the intangibles of the game. It's not just scoring. And, you know, I'll use the second half against Texas A&M International on Saturday. He started the second half with a steal and a deflection on the ball, which kind of got things rolling for us. Bakari is a player that we asked to go out there and give us a spark on the defensive side of the ball to take on perhaps a challenging matchup or a key matchup, because, you know, he's an interesting mix of strength and athleticism that can keep players off balance. And so that's something that he started to embrace a little bit more. You know, he's still getting himself comfortable as a playmaker and as a creator for others. You know, the whole, you know, play for myself versus play for a teammate is always a challenge for guards. But his impact on the defensive end is something that we need to have consistently every game. And I think he's starting to embrace that just more and more and understand what that looks like on a night in, night out basis. And it's really showing on the defensive side of the ball with what we've been able to do this last month.
Yeah, you guys came out with your hair on fire in the second half on Saturday, and he was right in the middle of that. And he's kind of been an energy guy. I know Reggie's another guy that you look at as an energy guy for the club.
Yeah, well, Reggie's energy, I mean, on the offensive end, you can't sugarcoat the fact that, you know, if his shot's going in, I mean, he's a high and low kind of guy. When it's going, he can rattle off four or five in a row. But what's always been a constant for us is his rebound rate. I mean, he's about a rebound every 2.5 minutes of play. He just has a knack for the basketball.
He's close to 8 rebounds a game now, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah. And so that's something that you know, we had some deficiencies early in the year on the glass, and I think that Reggie's really done a good job of helping us shore that area up. And we took something that the start of conference play, rebounding was a liability for us, to where now you go back over the course of the last 4 weeks, you know, we're amongst the top in the conference in rebound rate and rebound margin now.
Right.
And so Reggie's been a big key for that that swing for us.
Another big factor in that is Amici Chukwu.
No, there's no
and
question.
I know you talk to me all the time about the impact he's making on a game, and it doesn't always show up in the box score.
Yeah. You know, Meech had everything that could go wrong from an injury perspective happened to him, and you know, it's been tough on him, but he's stayed the course. And I think what he's really come to terms with and peace with is the fact that he doesn't have to find motivation to go out and play hard when he's on the court, because, you know, he treats every game, every practice as a blessing.
I mean,
he's had it taken away multiple times. And so he goes out and he gives everything he has. I think his teammates have done a really good job in the last few weeks of just telling him to play confident, trust himself, not be tentative. And it's, you know, you look at especially this last weekend, I mean, he had some really good offensive showings for us and made some key buckets for us when we were in spots where we needed, you know, a difficult basket. Defense was taking away our guards, and we had to throw it inside and get something to happen, and Meech delivered for us.
And he's kind of become a Swiss Army knife for you a little bit. He can do a lot of different things on the floor for you.
No, that's exactly right. He's a very good rebounder, which I think is kind of what he started with. But he, you know, his ability to guard multiple positions, but also we can use him as a pressure release because he's a forward who can handle the ball, who can make a pass, and create opportunities for teammates. And he's just a really good basketball player. You know, he's one of those guys that, you know, what does he do? I don't know. You know, to your point, a little bit of a Swiss Army knife. He can do lots of things. And at the end of the day, when you're trying to go out and win on a daily basis in this conference, you just need good basketball players. And the more good basketball players that you have on your roster, you know, the higher your likelihood of going out and finding success. And Meech certainly fits that bill.
Got one more chance to get a win this year, and that's Thursday night at Cameron. The women's game will start at 5:30. The men will follow. We'll have that game for you, an audio broadcast on the LSC Digital Network. What's your approach for this season finale?
Well, more than anything, it's just we need to compete well and go out and find a way to win this game. You know, back to, you know, your comment earlier about so many players returning and not finishing their eligibility. You know, this is a meaningful basketball game that has post-game or postseason implications. Now, they're for Cameron, but there's going to be an energy about this game. Cameron's going to come out to play. They have to have
Cameron
this.
Has to win.
They have to
now,
win.
Now, they still need help, but correct. It all starts with them getting a win over Midwestern
exactly
State.
That's exactly right. And so knowing that, we need to go in there and we need to compete knowing that there is something on the line here. And I think that's probably the best way that we could go into our offseason is, you know, on a win streak. You know, we've played well, you know, this last week we've had good practices and we need to send this season off on a high note. And one of the places where we've struggled this year has been on the road against good teams, finding a way to just get over the hump. You know, we're close, but at the end of the day, you got to find a way to get that win and make it happen. And I think that that's what we need to go out there and put our focus on is what do we have to do to earn this victory? It's going to be tough. They're a very good basketball team. You know, and the motivation beyond that is, you know, how that game before Christmas went down.
Midwestern State had a 13-14 point lead, something like that, with about 7 minutes to play.
Yeah.
Cameron came back and got the win on us.
And it was because we didn't defend. We didn't get enough stops. I mean, we scored 86 points. We had the lead. We didn't dig our heels in and get the stops that we needed to earn that victory. And we are a very different team on the defensive side of the ball that we were 2 months ago when we played them. And we need to go out there and not only show that to Cameron, but more importantly to ourselves that our defense and our rebounding can travel on the road against a good team and put us in a position to go earn one of these hard-fought victories.
I think we were talking about, Will, a moment ago, and you talked about momentum going into next season. Mm-hmm. Is that true for the team? Can you carry this momentum that, let's assume we go out to Cameron, play really well, get a road win at Cameron. Can we take that momentum and carry it into next season?
Well, we don't have a choice. I mean, the reality is that, you know, these players, they're – you know, you think of, you know, a couple returners who played significant minutes last year. All right. Well, really, Pierre Sanders was the only returner who played significant minutes last year. And all the rest of them, whether they were returners or transfers from someone else, didn't play a lot of meaningful basketball minutes last year. And so their eyes have been opened to the realities of how hard it is to win, you know, in – you know, arguably you have the Northern Sun, the MIAA, and the Lone Star, I'd say, that have really separated themselves as the top three Division II conferences in the country in men's basketball this year. And to come in and win in a conference of that caliber, it requires more than they ever expected. And I think that now that they have that perspective, what it feels like on a day-in, day-out basis to have to work, to improve, and just manage the mental grind of what the Lone Star requires, I think is going to send all of them into this offseason, you know, just very different and ready to grow, to compete, and ultimately to come back equipped to compete with the best of the Lone Star.
So after you beat Cameron on Thursday, what does Justin Leslie do?
It's recruit, recruit, recruit. You know, we're always trying to find ways of improving our roster. I mean, that never stops. there's going to be a lot of time that way. And then beyond that, you know, there are things that I need to go back and dive into from this season. You know, we lost several close games, and I need to go back and rewatch all of those contests, like what can be done differently. You know, are there going to be things that we need to address in each of these returners, the guys that are coming back on improving their game, you know, making some tweaks? You know, for some it might be their footwork on catch and shoot. For others it might be their hand placement on finishing around the basket. But whatever we can do to give these players opportunities to grow grow, to learn and return as better basketball players. We have to have in their hands for spring workouts, which, you know, it's going to start, you know, as we get into late March. And so it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I mean, anything we can do to invest in these young men, just to continue to help them grow on and off the court, we're going
to
be doing.
So you got a chance to be 17-11 this year. Mm-hmm. That's not a bad record at all, but you've missed the Lone Star Conference postseason tournament. So how do you see this season?
Well, ultimately, you know, we missed the mark not making the Lone Star Conference tournament. I mean, we have the talent to be a 20-win team, which has us comfortably in the postseason, you know, not just the
And it's pretty easy, as you just pointed out, it's pretty easy to look back and go, well, we could have had a win here, sure. Could have had a win there.
Yeah, there's no
probably,
question.
There's probably four or five games like that you can pick out.
No, that's exactly right. But at the same time, you know, that's how it went down. That's where we are, and the standard is higher. We have to raise that standard, and the players know it. You know, staff knows it. I know it. You know, we want to do everything we can to put Midwestern State in the best possible position to compete with the best in the Lone Star, and that's what we're going to have to do heading into this offseason, because, you know, we don't want to be in this position again next year.
Without talking about specific players, what types of players are you out there looking for? I know you said earlier you just need good basketball players.
Yeah.
But are you looking for more size? Are you looking for more ball handlers?
Well, I would say really just kind of two general things. The first is defensively, our numbers are amongst the top in the conference. It's been our offense that has been the issue. We haven't consistently shot the ball well enough to power us through some flat spots. So finding you know, some ways that we can score more consistently, guys who just know how to get their own baskets, to not have to manufacture, you know, plays for and looks for. And then beyond that, just a level of toughness. I mean, we've got wonderful young men in this program. You know, we don't have any character issues, so to speak. However, we do need to develop, you know, an edge about us, you know, and having a couple guys that just have some of that toughness, that just an inherent fight and grit in them is something that we have to improve, because we'd love to go out there and score 85 points and have a great shooting night and, you know, just make the game look pretty. But when you go on the road in the Lone Star Conference, you got to be prepared to win ugly sometimes.
And absolutely.
So having the personnel to be able to win both ways is going to be really important for us moving forward.
And that doesn't mean you can have a high character guy that's also gritty.
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, and that toughness can come from a lot of places, but that's something that we do have to find. And ultimately, you know, those are going to be some of the areas that define the transition into next season.
Well, Justin, I always enjoy doing these podcasts, and I always look forward to our visits, and I appreciate you taking time out to do it throughout the course of the season. And let's end on a real positive note. Let's go north of the Red River and get a victory on Thursday night.
Sounds like a great plan, Pete. It's always a pleasure.
Justin Leslie joining us here on the Stain Gang podcast, and he'll be back with us. We might jump on a podcast here before the end of the school year. Who knows? But we want your support. Remember, we're on the LSC Digital Network with an audio-only broadcast Thursday. We appreciate your support throughout the course of the season. I'm Pete Stein saying so long.